You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with Keep Seeking Him.
Hebrews 11, starting at verse 1. And the reason, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. That's a word for somebody. If you got a bad report, use your faith. You can get a good report. Amen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Come on, read verse 6 with me. It is impossible for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Remain standing as I read that from the Amplified. But without faith, it is impossible to please him and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily, look, somebody say, it's necessary. You must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. Amen. You may be seated. I'm continuing the series, Keep Seeking Him. Because the Bible tells us from the text, Hebrews 11 and 6, that God is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. So when we see diligently, that implies it's not just one time. Sometimes people do things one time and expecting eternal results. You hardly ever get an eternal result from something you do one time. Praise the Lord. Okay. You hardly ever get a result from something that you do one time. You get results from consistency. Because consistency is the key to breakthrough. Right, Pastor? Mr. Tyler Bailey? Consistency is the key to breakthrough. He has a newsletter that he puts out from his law firm, and he mailed it to me. And his article said, consistency is it. So when I opened it up, I saw a consistent key. I said, he's going to give credit to his father there and say, my dad always says. I called him up. I said, you can't just be plagiarizing my stuff and don't give me no credit at all. He said, well, that's a common statement. I said, no, it ain't common to you. You got it from me. Let me use my stuff in your law magazine. We don't even say nothing about, at least my dad says. You know what I'm saying? The Bible said, give honor where honor's due. Consistency is the key to breakthrough, because God delights in us seeking him, but not just seeking him, diligently seeking him. Diligence means careful, persistent work or effort, steady, earnest, and energetic effort, persistent exertion. Everybody say exertion. Exertion of body and mind. And so exertion means you're going to have to put something into it, which means it may not be appealing to the body. Okay? It's going to require something of you. I don't like that statement, because I just believe Jesus died so I don't have to have pain. But they say no pain, no gain. Exertion is a better word. Okay, I don't believe we got to be hurting and stuff. Okay, you know, every time I hear about people, you know, I think about Pastor Marsh. I think one time he even paid for me to get a trainer or something. I'm like, I didn't ask you to pay for nobody to hurt me. When I think of a train, I think, oh, you're going to try to hurt me, and I'm not going to voluntarily sign up for that, okay? So the Bible tells us that, number one, without faith is impossible to please God. Faith is that acknowledgement of God's existence. Faith is the acknowledgement of God's power. Faith is the acknowledgement that we need power, But then we said faith demands that we seek God. We often seek everything and everybody but God. And God wants us to come to him first. Solomon, he tried to find satisfaction, joy, fulfillment. What Maslow called in his hierarchy of needs, self-actualization. He tried to find that in everything. He used his money and his privilege and his power to get everything that man could imagine, including anything that he thought of to create. He did it physically with women. He did it with pleasure. He did it with wine. The Bible, he goes on to say he even built pools and all those kind of things for recreation and for beauty. And he traveled. He did all these things. And then he said it's all vanity because there is something in your life that can only be fulfilled by seeking God. Y'all listening to me. Not seeking a man, not seeking a woman, not seeking a boo or a bae, not seeking money, not seeking a job. There's a place in your life that only God can fill. There's a scratch in man's soul that only God can reach. So we have to constantly and seek him. Jesus encouraged us to be seekers. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye what? Shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Now, if this was going to happen automatically, Jesus wouldn't tell me what I got to do. He would have just said, it's given to you. You're going to find it. The door's already open. He said, no, if you ask, it's going to be given. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it shall be open to you. I used to panic many years ago if I lost something. I even stopped using the word loss. And I used the word misplaced. See, when you say something lost, it sounds like you ain't going to get it back. If it's misplaced, I know it's going to show up. I just got to use a little diligence and do some seeking. Okay? And sometimes, now Pastor Marshall, y'all need to understand. When the Bible talks about that woman, the Bible talks about a woman who lost, what did she lose? A coin. Yeah, it's in Luke 15. Always remember Luke 15 because Luke 15 is the lost chapter. Luke 15 talks about the lost son, the prodigal son. Luke 15 talks about the lost coin. And Luke 15 talks about the lost sheep. So that's a good way to remember Luke 15. But it talks about the woman who had this lost coin. And the Bible says she swept the whole house until she found that coin. If Pastor Marshall lose something, she won't hear nothing else. Don't talk to her because she is going to find it. She will look all over the place. I said, baby, we'll show up later. No, I know it was here. It was here. It could be a blouse. And she may have 50, 11 other ones, but I'm looking for this one. I'm looking for this one. I said, baby, just put it up. No. I'm looking for this one. And if you're diligent enough, you'll find it. Sometime you got to retrace your steps. Sometimes the key to finding it is to simply calm down. Stop panicking. Stop panicking. Chill out. Look at your neighbor and speak in tongues. Tell him, Hakuna Matata. If you don't know any other tongue, I just gave you one. And if you put a little quickening to it, you look real spiritual. Hakuna Matata. Don't that look Hakuna Matata? Glory to the Lord. I got to preaching so much this week. I got to spinning. Pastor Marcy told me, she said, I watched you on streaming. You did a triple axel. She was messing with me last night, y'all. He said, yeah, I watched you. If you calm down, you'll find it. Look at Luke 15, 8:8-9. Oh, I got it right here in my notes. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle. Look, somebody say, turn the light on. Oh boy, that's a good place to start. That's a good place to start seeking. First, just turn the light on. The entrance of thy word bringeth light. In order to seek, you need to turn the light on. Get in the word. There's answers in God's word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. The entrance of his word brings light. First thing he said, she lights a candle. She puts a light and then she sweeps the house. Sometime in order to seek, sweep, you know what sweeping is, y'all? Sweeping is not just putting something in the pile. Sweeping is getting out what needs to get out of here. Sometimes the reason why we can't hear God, because our lives is too cluttered with other people's voices. Our lives is too cluttered pursuing so many other things. Sometimes you got to sweep the house. Oh my God. You know what? Fasting is a means of sweeping your house. Fasting is a means, a lot of people talk about. I told Pastor Marston, a couple of people just randomly said to me, I said, I don't know what's going on here. I mean, just random. I'm sitting in the airport. Man, I don't even know. He's a little bit chubby, okay, but he looks at me and he says, I lost 15 pounds. He said, I'm doing a low carb. You trying to tell me something? I don't know you. I was at the church the night, young man said, he said, yeah, I just lost about 20 pounds. I said, okay. I said, well, what you doing? He said, just doing no carbs. I said, Lord, you're trying to tell me something? I was telling Pastor Moss about that, and she was kidding me. So then she walked with me. She said, you know what? This fits better than it did last year. I'm doing no carbs. But everybody, a lot of time when people talk about losing weight, they'll talk about detoxing. Getting rid of stuff. Sometimes seeking God, you got to detox. Sometimes you got to detox from all the negative stuff that's going in your ears. You know, there was a time like in the 50s when the real holy folks, they were called the television that one-eyed devil. That was before there was ever any ministry on television. They call it that one-eyed devil. And so they thought that Christians shouldn't be watching television. And then I told y'all, I came along at a time we couldn't go to the movies because movies were sitting in the seat of the scornful. I told the church this week, I said, if I was smart, I would have told Mother Bailey, can I go and just stand? I won't sit in that seat of the scornful. I'll just stand up. Okay, we couldn't go to the movies. And some people say, well, believe it or not, there are people who think, there were Christians who thought you shouldn't go to amusement park or the fair because that's seeking pleasure. Okay? But can I tell you, see, people came up with legalistic things about what you should do and should not do. Can I tell you, we don't have to be legalistic, but you got to know how to detox yourself. Maybe that's not where you should go. That's not what you should do. That's not what you should watch. That's not what you should listen to. Know what you got to do to sweep your house. Come on now. You know all the hidden corners. You know the places that you don't usually go to. Come on. Y'all know your house can look clean, especially if you clean your house, but you know the areas that you don't regularly clean. It may be underneath the bed. It may be underneath the end table. But sometimes when it really comes to sweeping, you got to go to places that you don't usually go to. You got to think about areas that perhaps you've been neglecting. Are y'all listening to me? I'm talking about seeking God. Sweep the house. And then he says, seek diligently until she finds it. Notice what this scripture shows me. Sometimes there's preparation before seeking. Turn the light on. She sweeps, then she seeks. She puts the light on. She sweeps, and then she seeks. A lot of times, we going right in and trying to seek, trying to heed God, trying to get direction. And God said, no, you need to sweep that out first, then I'll talk to you. Get in the word. No. You don't need a word. You need the word. If you would just show up to church, you'll get some answers. So many people in our church, and there's nothing wrong, and we make ourselves available to our members and to our sons and our daughters. But so many people have told me, Pastor, I'm not in your face all the time, but I get my answers every time I come to church. I get answers from your word. Some of y'all, can you see, now, I'll be honest. When I was in college, I wasn't one of the real diligent students who kept up with that syllabus, because syllabus sound like silly to me. No, I'm not. I'm just playing. I'm trying to be funny there, but we're not funny. Okay. I didn't keep up with the syllabus, but what I did, I showed up to class. I showed up to class, and I never understood students who don't come to class, because that's the easy part to me. I showed up to class, and I took good notes. Come on, half your battle, 60, 70, 80% of it is just showing up and taking some good notes. Are y'all listening to me? Because what you hear is going to be on the test. Well, why do I need to come to church? Because, and then watch it. So there's something that happens simply by reading, and some things come by hearing, but then some things happen by impartation. Because some things are taught, but some things are caught. So while you're sitting here under the word, you're hearing the Logos word. But while I'm speaking the Logos word, God, the Holy Spirit, will whisper the rhema to you. And the rhema tells you how that applies to your life. The rhema shows you how that applies to your bills. The rhema shows you how that applies to your children. The rhema shows you how to use that on your job. Turn the light on. Sweep diligently until she finds. And then verse 9 says, and when she has found it. Somebody says, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors, saying, rejoice with me. I found the peace that I've lost. So seeking requires effort and diligence. And sometimes, y'all, God will hide things for us just to get us to seek him. Notice I didn't say hide it from us. He hides it for us just to get us to seek him. There are things that are waiting for you in the presence of God. There's some things that are lined up. There are some things that God has reserved for you. There's some packages that God has for you. There's some gifts that God has for you. There's some revelation that God has for you. And it's reserved for you, but it's in his presence. It's going to be a gift when you get there. So God will hide things for us to get us to seek him. Proverbs 25:2. It's a powerful scripture. And it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. So God said, there are some things that I'm going to hide or conceal for my glory. But your honor is going to come. Your promotion is going to come. Your value is going to be demonstrated by you searching it out. It's the honor of God to conceal a thing. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are peculiar people. We're the kings who got to search things out. We're the royalty that has to search things out. Matthew 13:11, Jesus' disciples asked, and Jesus had been going around talking. He'd been talking all deep. But when he got with his 12 by themselves, he would speak very plainly. And so when they got alone, they said, gee, why are you so deep when you talk to them? And thus is the kingdom of God. And he said, well, what's all that? You don't talk to us like that. And Jesus says, verse Matthew 13:11, he answered, he said unto them, because it is given to you, watch this, it's given to you, my intimate family, to know the what? The mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. Now, the word mysteries comes from a Greek word, mysterion, which means hidden things, which means divine secrets. Are y'all listening to me? So watch this. It's given to you to know the mysterion. It's given to you to know the secrets. How many of you know if you once you know the secret, it ain't a secret to you? Y'all catch that. So the secret things, the Bible says, it belongs to God. But he reveals it to those who seek him. Secret things belongs to God. But God reveals secrets to those who seek him. He said, because it's given to you. God has prepared for you. He has ordained for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He's given to you to know how things work in the realm of the spirit. This is so important because so many people are only limited to natural things. Wonderful to have degrees. Degrees show you how to make it in the earth. Degrees sometimes merely open up a door so you can get in, and then God really start revealing secrets to you. Degrees and academic education, it will qualify you, but God says beyond that, there's some wisdom, hidden secret, hidden wisdom that I want to give you, but it's in my presence because I've ordained this. It's given to you to know. Look, somebody said, I'm supposed to know. Every parent, listen to me, every parent raising children, if God gave you that child, it's given to you to know how to raise that child. Stop saying, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what I can do with this child. Ain't nothing I can do with this child. I don't know what I'm going to do with this child. See, now you're talking natural. If God gave you that child, then it's given to you to know the mystery of how to raise that child. Because if you don't know, other folks ain't going to know. Because nobody's going to care. Oh, y'all don't like when I tell you this. It's the truth. Nobody's going to care as much about your stuff as you. Nobody gonna care about your children like you, your family like you, your mama like you, your car like you, your money like you. Nobody care about your stuff and your people like you. So if nobody else press in, you gotta learn to press in. If nobody else prays, you gotta pray. If nobody else lays hands, you gotta lay hands. If nobody else anoint, you gotta anoint, because it's given to you to know what to do about your situation. Paul encouraged us to be seekers. Acts 17, Paul, he comes to this place called Mars Hill, very similar to what we know as the Parthenon in Rome, that Pastor Marsh and I had the opportunity to visit the Pantheon. These were Greek, these were temples. The Pantheon in Rome was copied after the Parthenon in Athens, Greece, where they would put up, had different statues to the various gods, to the Greek gods, and then the Romans used the same gods and just gave them Roman names. And so we had the opportunity to visit that, which is now, which then later became, see, people know better, okay, which later then became a Catholic church. And now it's a primary tourist attraction. But Paul comes to Mars Hills and he goes around, he looks, sees their statues of this, and they would have inscription, who this god is, who this goddess is. He go around, he looked at them all. And Paul is smart. Paul's intelligent. Because Paul says stuff like this, I become all things to all men that I might win some. He said, to the Jews, I became as a Jew, and to the Greeks, I became as a Greek. He says, I didn't try to enforce Jewish law when I was with Greeks or non-Jews, and then when I was with the Jews, I didn't try to act like I abided by the law. But he goes on to say this. He said, so I went in and out as I need to. He said, but I never violated the law of God. You understand? He said, there's certain things. You know, in other words, he said, there's certain methods that we can change, but the law of God remains the same. Are y'all with me here? Thou shalt not commit adultery, whether I'm with a Jew or a Gentile, I don't commit adultery. That violates the law of God. Are y'all with me here? But not eating this meat or not eating that meat, Paul said, I went in and out of that based upon who I was around. But I find it so interesting because in Acts 17, I mean, if Paul was especially a Pentecostal, old-time Pentecostal preacher back in the day, he would have said, what is this? I command all, I take authority over all the demonic spirits you got up in here. Pull that thing down. Pull that down, you heathens. That's not how Paul responded to him. Look how intelligent Paul is. Paul says, as I went around, I beheld your devotions. He says, and I see, the King James used the word, that thou art very superstitious.
God delights in us seeking Him and getting His divine direction for our lives. As believers, our desire to seek Him should never stop. Bishop Herbert Bailey explains the promises in seeking God. Order this powerful 4-part series today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to writedirection.info. Order Keep Seeking Him. you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.